What's that sound? It's the sound of horror. I am one of your hosts making such horrible sounds, Kyle Stuck. And I'm joined by my co-host and fellow ghoul and creature of the night, Noah Bosley.
Boo.
Oh, yeah. Noah, please. Noah, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. I'm pretty excited about this episode.
I am pretty excited as well. I'm happy to be here with you. I'm happy that we are able to share some euros together. Not the currency.
I was going to say. Oh.
The sandwich.
Yes.
Noah. Folks, let me just line a little direction of where we're going to be going this episode. But first, before we do that, happy Halloween. It's not going to be Halloween while you're listening to this.
Halloween
probably.
Season.
Exactly. October. It's a magical month.
Some people call it Thanksgiving, but
yeah.
Fall.
Probably my mom. Yeah. She doesn't like it.
But yeah.
Shout out to
skip Halloween.
Mom. That's right. But it's a great season. I love the festivity of it all. So I hope that you're curled up next to a jack-o'-lantern right now or, you know, watching. It'd be hard to listen to a podcast and watch a film at the same time.
Yeah.
But I don't know your life. I don't know your struggle. Anyway, happy Halloween. Hope that you're doing well. Here's the direction for our episode. We're going to start off.
This is a Halloween special.
Yes.
They'll probably say in the title, but just to inform everyone.
Noah, don't you dare interject again. No, Noah is correct.
Is that hopefully, why you have the knife?
That's right.
Kyle?
I'm sorry, Noah. No, I should have said it. Thank you. Yes, welcome to our Halloween special. And in this special, we have a couple fun things. So first off, Noah and I are going to be jumping into what our favorite top horror films are, just talking about that a little bit. And then after that, we're going to kind of explore the horror genre as a whole, what people think about it, the good, the bad. And then I know I am, and Noah may be making a case for this as well, or maybe combating me a little bit, but just the misconception that it's only gore, sex, and violence, and that it's a lesser genre. I kind of want to get into that. There's going to be some what is the horror genre? What's the difference between it and a thriller and, you know, all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And stick around for the end for if you are one of those people, we're going to have some suggestions for some content that you can dip your toes into that isn't going to scar your soul. maybe. I don't know how sensitive you are.
Yeah.
But no, before we do any of that, I just got some quick questions for you.
Do it.
Do they have Halloween in France?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And is it just, I mean...
It's about the same.
Really?
But I have a distant view of it.
Okay.
From not partaking for...
Were you not allowed to partake?
18 years of my life.
Oh, okay.
So, yes. My view of Halloween now is very commercialized. Just because from a distance, it's like, oh, this is this event that people spend money on.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do have it over there.
So was it like, were you not allowed to partake, or you just, it wasn't like around, like you didn't really do it in your area, or your family just didn't do it, or what?
It's a combination of all those things.
Mm.
It was frowned upon in my household,
okay.
Just in general.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I was really like envious of people who were participating in it, because I think I always liked at least the costume part of it.
Yeah.
The role-playing aspect to me was very appealing. Trick-or-treating, I don't know if that was ever a big draw for me. I think it's about the same overseas, and I don't know if like my kind of perception of it is different now that I'm here and that this is what I think it was like, but I think it's about the same as it is in the US.
Okay.
Maybe not. It's definitely not as big of a deal, but people, yeah. I think the process and the what people do and all that stuff is about the same.
Okay. And I'm going to try to say Halloween in its French form, Baguette-a-ween.
Yes.
Was that the correct?
You nailed it.
My man. What is the actual name?
Halloween.
Oh, I like it. It's like cuter.
Yeah.
Halloween.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Halloween.
Aw. It seems like a friendly greeting.
Yeah.
Like, I just picture you kind of waving your hand.
Yeah, or like a small bird.
Yeah.
Is that Halloween?
Halloween. I love it. So, well, I was going to then ask if you had any favorite Halloween memories, but I guess with not participating in it for the first 18 years of your life, there's... Did you ever sneak a scary movie?
I was trying to think of that. I don't think. Well, I did, but I don't think it was like specific to Halloween.
Yeah, I just.
I don't know if I. Yeah, I don't really have any.
Childhood trauma here. We're going deep tonight. No, that's fine. I mean, I obviously. I mean, I think it's obvious. I love Halloween.
Yeah.
But I, like you, I was deprived. And I don't say that in like a, I should have been taken away by child services sort of way. It's fine. My parents, they get to choose how I was raised. Mm-hmm. And it's not essential to living. So it's okay. But I was very envious of the kids going trick-or-treating. Mm. And it was more difficult in Ecuador just because it wasn't as safe and not as many people did it there. So, but I remember being in the States once when I was younger and wanting to dress up and do it. And I wasn't allowed to, and I was bummed. But there always seemed like that magic in the air. It always appealed to me. It just seemed like a fun time.
Yeah.
But, again, to bring it back to my mom. I feel like I talk about like my mom a lot as opposed to my dad. If my dad's listening, I love you just as much. I just...
The fact that you have to justify it.
I don't know. Yeah, anyway, this episode's going to take a whole turn. The true horror is just not knowing if someone loves you enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right, thanks for listening, guys.
I'll be grabbing the tissues. But my mom and I once, we watched The Birds, Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, during Halloween. It just was like, it was super chill, chill night, but it was just a good pairing.
Yeah.
The jack-o'-lantern was lit. Mm. That's the only time it's appropriate to say lit around me.
Well, now that I know this.
No. Well, transition, you know, let's get to our lists. And then from that, let's dive into our main topic today. So will you lead me with strong hands with two fresh baguettes, and you tell me what your top five horror films are, my friend.
Okay. So just as a preamble to this, I am not the horror buff that Kyle is.
Don't build me up.
And I was trying to think, of the horror films that I had seen even. And I realized I had a pretty big zombie phase. And so a lot of them were zombie movies, but I tried to kind of knock some of those out and put in things that were a little bit different just for the sake of variety. But anyway, now, this is one that I don't want to spoil your list, but this first one I have here, and these are in no particular order, but this first one is one that we had in common on our list, which is 28 Days Later, which is a fantastic movie in story, in human connection, but also visually. Yeah. It did things that I'd never seen before. And just like as a nerdy technicality, but it was intentionally shot in low resolution.
Yep.
And when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is like not a high quality version of this movie. I got to find a higher quality. And I looked everywhere, and then I found out, oh no, that it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It was shot like to be grainy.
Yeah.
And pixelated.
Yeah.
And as soon as I found out it was intentional, I was like, oh, I'm going to enjoy this. And so, and I was a Danny Boyle fan already, but,
yeah,
I was just, it just his visual energy and electric style, mm-hmm. I thought was going to be really good for a zombie / infection movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so good. Anyway,
no, great choice. No, I affirm you.
Yes. I had that on there. You know, I'll just knock out the zombie ones and then do the other two later. But Dawn of the Dead, the remake, Zack Snyder version, I think it was like 2004, a remake of the one that was in the 80s. I don't remember what the date was. But
we weren't born yet.
The original is hot garbage, in my opinion. I'm sorry if you enjoy it. I was talking to Kyle about this earlier, but Yeah, like the true horror of that movie is the frustration of watching these people put themselves in those situations.
To be where smarter.
If one of them had been like just any person that I know, probably, who just like even remotely capable of doing simple tasks, would have been fine throughout that movie and not been threatened at all. But anyway, the remake is very again energetic and just it's good.
Well, and really quick, just to, yes. to throw in a little snippet because I can't not. It's just like, yeah, it is interesting because when you think about Zack Snyder, people probably go like superheroes, you know, right. And those, they think, even if they're thinking back to his earlier stuff, they like 300 comic mm-hmm. booky stuff. It's like 300 Watchmen,
yeah.
Man of Steel, very stylized. Justice League. Yeah. yeah. And mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, like he made a zombie movie. Like mm-hmm. just because you and I are like film nerds and
yes.
we watch a lot of movies and stuff. It's like, oh yeah, like he did that. But I'm sure depending on our audience that, yeah. that could come as a surprise of like, oh, yeah. like that very like stylized, mm-hmm. just kind of PG-13 vibe that he's been going mm-hmm. with. It's like, oh, he made a very R-rated
yeah.
zombie movie that again is on the list for a lot of people of a remake that's better than the original.
Oh yeah.
It's absolutely. A great choice.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't really know about this movie, but I think it's probably his second best movie.
What would you have as his first?
Watchmen.
Yeah,
that yeah. Good. It's got it's that's got to be his best one.
It's good, but we're not here to talk about it. But we'll have to have a superhero.
Even though I'm very big 300 fan, but I think Watchmen.
Would you say this is Sparta?
I would.
Fantastic. Next one.
So this one, and this will be interesting to get into on the debate of what is what constitutes horror.
Oh yeah.
But I had Zombieland. Interchangeable with Shaun of the Dead.
I allow it.
Those are just great movies just in general, even if you don't approach it as a zombie horror movie, but mm-hmm. like the writing and yeah. they're very quotable, mm-hmm. very charming. There's a lot to love about them, but yeah, we were trying to figure out earlier if they're horror movies, like how much of the horror element is in there, or if they're just comedies mm-hmm. that play on horror themes. Anyway.
Oh yeah, we'll get into it.
That'll be a whole thing.
But great choices. As I affirmed you earlier, I'll affirm you again in recording, so it's written, not written down, but in ear holes.
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
A more recent example that I really, really enjoyed was Cabin in the Woods. Very tongue-in-cheek, very self-aware. It's a kind of a satire on the horror genre, but also while very much being a horror movie in many parts.
Yeah.
I thought it was very effective in kind of giving you that distance mm-hmm. and that awareness of what's going on, but at the same time, like surprising you with stuff. So anyway, it was very good.
If you haven't, just another quick interjection, I'm sorry.
No, please.
Just if you haven't seen it, try to like, don't look anything up about it. Mm-hmm. Just try to go in fresh because it really does have some fun surprises sprinkled throughout.
Yes.
And it's one that would be a shame if you go in and have certain things ruined for you.
I agree.
Another just fantastic choice. No, you're killing it.
And then last on here, which might be surprising to a lot of people, but the very first Saw movie.
Noah, how could you?
And I think what became of, or just starting with the movie after that, they really tried to capitalize on the entrapment and torture aspect of it. Because that was like the visceral part that I guess brought people into the seats and bought tickets. But I tried a few of the ones after. I think I may have watched all of them. I don't remember. But it did nothing. It was just like, pardon the term, but they call it torture porn, where yeah. you just go to be kind of have that experience. Oh, I want to
just meet.
How
being
how
destroyed.
Are they going to be? How are they going to be tortured this time? And whatever.
Do you want to play a game?
But and the whole premise of it is they really capitalized on the idea that, oh, well, he's not actually killing these people because they have a choice.
I and never murdered anyone.
That falls apart immediately. Anyway, the very first one is a thriller. It's a detective story. There's an investigation. There's tension. There's mystery. There's a lot that just makes it a good thriller. And then there's just one scene that like involves kind of that gore that it's known for. But other than that, like that building of the tension and the story like makes that moment matter. To where you're like, man, this is true. This is desperation. Like this wouldn't this isn't happening gratuitously. This needs to happen for this person to move on. Anyway, I still enjoy that movie, and I love the ending. I didn't have it spoiled for me the first time I watched it, and so it was just so good. Anyway, I think that's my whole list.
Saw is the one on there that I've never seen.
Yeah,
and it's because the ending was spoiled for me. And B, I did have like all the other ones for the most part had come out after, like at that point that I was aware of it. So I kind of had that perception of it just being the torture porn, blood everywhere.
And it's marketed like that and it's lumped in with the rest, but it really is its own thing.
And it's James Wan, right? Who directed it, who did the Conjuring films and Insidious. And
yeah, he's known for much more substantial stories and just kind of suspense like that than the rest of the Saw movies are kind of became. So
seems like it's one that had a legitimate story and there's care put it in, and then just like the twists got laughable.
And there's like there's so much commentary on like the way people live their lives and all that stuff and why he thinks he's justified in kind of carrying out this sort of vengeance on certain people. It's really interesting.
Important question. Tell me this. How does the puppet move on its own? I don't understand. Or does it? Or is that in later movies? Because I have an image of it like wheeling around on that little tricycle.
I think it's maybe motorized.
And is there a reason he likes... Is it because he's a puppet master that he chooses a puppet
maybe,
to speak through?
I don't remember what the significance of the... Okay. It's just to give an image of himself, I think. That makes it seem like he's there with you, but not like... I don't know.
Well, I'm happy we did this because it was fun to get your list. And again, I didn't expect Saw to be on there. So I'm happy to know you better. And I'm glad that we have our overlap. And like Noah said, I mean, it's interesting too, just because, I wasn't sure how much affinity you had for the genre. So I just kind of made an assumption. So I'm like, having to like look and be like, what are the well, for when for me, it's like I already have a giant list made and I can even look at my ratings on IMDb and like filter them by if they're horror or not.
That's smart. Yeah. And like when I was making the list, I was like, but which ones of what I've seen are considered horror? And like, and then again, that's going to lead into the whole discussion. But I guess I just tried to pick stuff that was like kind of widely viewed as being horror movies.
Yeah.
But again, there's technicalities in there that we'll get into.
Sure. Well, and so I'm going to go ahead and jump in and do mine, but let me know though, as we go through these, if you've seen them, there's some that I know you have, and then there's others that I can't remember.
I would tell you, I've seen two of them.
Okay.
You know which ones I've seen.
Okay. No. So in no particular order, Humming Fools, here is Papa's list of top 5 horror films. I'll tell you really quick though. This was hard for me.
Yeah.
And I hate that I have to be put in a box, but otherwise we'd be here all day.
I'm going to preface this by saying your list is a lot more elevated than mine.
I reject that.
By some standards.
Everyone has their own taste, their own journey. And so I think your list is just as elevated as it needed to be.
All right.
So again, in no particular order, starting off, we have The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. It's also a remake. Never saw the original, old black and white film. But The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. Man, this movie just, It's got a great setting, you know, being in the Arctic, and it's like all these researchers and like they have like a dog handler and just and to then throw in just a monster that can basically mimic anything it absorbs. It's just, it's one of those like, what's the term? High concept films where it's just like, you hear the idea and you're like, oh, that's cool. Cause it allows a lot of fun scenarios where it's like the paranoia of you can only go so many places because otherwise you'll freeze to death. And so then being like, is this person really the creature? Is this person the creature? Or like, I thought like people turn on each other. So it's just, it's just a really fun movie and it has really great practical effects that just gross you out. But I mean, it is gross and is graphic, but it never feels like cheaper, like just kind of like
and that, slimy. That's what it's known for, I think, is just being like really effective. With its visuals and that it aged really well because of that.
So
I haven't seen it. The closest thing I've seen was the X-Files episode that was basically.
They basically did the same thing.
It's the thing, which it's an homage. Like they acknowledge that, and that was intentional. But it's again the Arctic setting, abandoned base. And it's not a creature that turns into people, but it's a I think it's something that infects people, and yet no one knows who's infected. But that person might be prone to like fits of rage because of like this thing that's infected. So anyway, it's a really good episode.
Well, cool. Well, you and I, I had not a burp, but almost a burp. Anyway, you and I will have to watch it. I think you dig it. Second, we have An American Werewolf in London. I believe this is John Landis film. I'm not sure. Feel free to correct me, humming fools. But yeah, this movie, it's weird because it's very much as a horror film, but there's lots of comedy sprinkled throughout and lots of like what the crap scenes. And usually that annoys me in movies sometimes where it's like, why is this here? But there's some scenes where it's just like, again, without spoilers, like the movie very much is like its title, like American tourist gets bit by a werewolf and then he's in London and he's dealing with that. But there's a scene in a hospital where like these Nazi monsters burst in and just start shooting people. And it's like, what? And again, I won't say anything about the context of that scene or whatever. It, just from not seeing the movie, it may sound like, well, that sounds dumb. Yeah. And I agree with you. But the movie is just, it's really funny. It's really witty. And this, again, the special effects, the transformation of turning into a wolf are so impressive and horrible and still have yet to be topped really in this day and age with like CGI and visual effects. It's kind of amazing what they're able to pull off. And so it just, the movie strikes such a unique tone that it was instantly memorable to me and I like revisiting it. So anyway.
From what I've heard, I've always thought that I would enjoy that movie. So.
We'll have to have a horror movie night. Boom. Yeah. I'll send you a calendar invite.
It should have been done before this episode, but that's all right.
We're busy men, Noah. We'll arrange it. We've got stuff to do. Yes. Yeah. Next, we have A Perfect Blue. This film, as someone who watches a lot of horror films, I do not gauge films on whether or not they scare me because they rarely do. That's just because I watch so many that I hardly ever... And I'm used to the, and we'll talk about this a lot in the episode, but the language of film. It's like, I know the beats that this is going to hit. So I kind of can expect when things are coming. Perfect Blue is an animated film, which is kind of interesting to see horror drawn. But this one legitimately creeped me out. And it was a combination of the music, the subject matter and just the excellent directing. So this one, it's kind of like a girl transitions from being a pop star to an actress. So she's been in like an all girl band, goes to being an actress and then feels like someone is stalking her. And she starts to also influenced Black Swan a lot to where it's like, she kind of, it's like, is she crazy or is there another version of her out there? And she's slowly kind of like losing her mind, it seems. And the music is just haunting and it has a very like I was on the edge of my seat for the third act. And again, it's like, I'm not saying this to put down animated films, but I just like didn't expect to be so engaged by it, like in a horror way. But it really was like, dang, this like scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to respect that. Oh, anyway,
I think, well, a lot of Miyazaki films kind of have horror elements to them. Spirited Away.
It's true. Yeah.
Like, it just movie. Like, there's like that uneasiness and that just some moments are just really uncomfortable and just really put the characters like out of their element.
Mm-hmm. Now, Spirited Away is has some very horror moments.
Yeah.
Like just the thing eating people. You're mm-hmm. like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Again, perfect. I want you to watch all these movies. You've seen the last two, but Perfect Blue will be another one that we'll have to watch together. Recently, it had its, I think, 20th film anniversary and was actually being shown in theaters here.
Oh, really?
But, and I tried to go with my friend and listener, Josh, but it was like sold out, which I did not expect.
Wow.
I was like, who's going to go to this?
Interesting.
I guess there's more people like me.
Huh.
Next one, the one that you mentioned us sharing, 28 Days Later. I don't need to go into this much because you kind of nailed it. But some Kyle Stuck trivia. Danny Boyle is like top five filmmakers for me.
Yeah.
I just love his style. I love his directing, the energy. And so, yeah, this movie is just, like you said, it's a solid story.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, so Danny Boyle was Trainspotting. Slumdog Millionaire is probably the one that most people would recognize. Mm-hmm. 127 Hours.
Trance.
Trance, which I don't think anyone saw.
But it's good and you should watch it.
But just very, very, what do they call it? Like he's a director has like his own style.
Oh, an auteur?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, very, right? Very true.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this movie just like Cillian Murphy, is that how you say his name?
Killian.
Yeah. Killian Murphy is just such a great leading man. I wish he got more work as a leading man, but the cast is fantastic.
Peaky Blinders.
Yeah. Shout out. Watch that show. I've only seen the first episode. Mm. It was good, but Papa ain't got lots of time.
Yeah.
So yeah, just watch it. And yeah, don't be deterred by the quality. Because I think nowadays it's like we expect like everything's got to be
HD,
shiny.
Like 4K, glitzy. Yeah.
But it's like, no, it very much plays into the intention and the tone of the movie. Mm-hmm. So check it out if you haven't. Don't watch the sequel. Finally, we have, and this is a great last one because it will kind of start off our main discussion. But I have Jaws. Noah definitely agrees with me that this is a horror film, but
yes.
I've run into debate with others, but we'll get into that later. Right now, I just want to say I love this movie. And it's like, again, it's a top 10 for me just as film, but definitely in the top five for horror because it has good characters and you care.
Mm-hmm.
And the scenes of the shark are just super effective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, there's no part of the movie that I'm like, okay, like I want to get to this part now. All the individual shark attacks are really effective. The first one is just like disturbing because it's like at night and this girl's alone. And you're just like, again, as an empathetic human, you're just like, no, that would be so awful.
Yeah.
And then to set up characters who are afraid of the water or has something to prove or are experts, but they've never seen something like this before. It's just the fun thing about film and stories is like making equations.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, if I take this and I take this and I plus it with this,
mm-hmm.
what am I going to get? And I think Jaws is a great example of that. And the last thing I'll say about it, if you haven't rewatched it in a while, watch it again and kind of view it as an examination or an exploration of what it means to be a man. When I watched it like the third or fourth time, there is this weird undertone of like a commentary on masculinity.
Interesting.
And again, I don't really like pretentious, like, oh, this film is a, you know, like whatever. And so I'm not trying to be annoying audience, but it really was like the three main dudes seem to represent different cultural ideas of what a man is.
Mm.
And so you have like the war veteran who's all gruff and talking the talk stuff and like being a butthole.
Kind of the archetypes.
Yeah. And then you have the main character who's scared of water. He's kind of passive, but he's the sheriff. He's trying to be a good guy, but like everyone's kind of walking over him. And then you have Richard Gere, I think.
Dreyfuss.
Dreyfuss? Mm-hmm. Richard Dreyfuss. Yeah, not Richard Gere. Different actor. who is super intelligent and the expert, but he's not strong. Yeah. And he's kind of judged by like the veteran, like classic guy. And you kind of throw them all together and they clash.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. So if you want a fun little experiment, do that.
Hmm.
But
I like it.
Hey, I like you.
Ooh.
Ooh. So getting to our topic, Beautiful Humming Fools, again, what we're going to be doing, the intention with this. The reason I wanted to talk about this is just because I feel like, while horror definitely has its fans and, you know, they're very passionate and dedicated, for the most part, it seems like there's an idea about horror films or horror media, you know, books, comics, video games, whatever. And that perception, that feeling is that it's trashy, that it's cheap, and that all it entails is blood, sex, and gore. Mm. Or sorry, I already said blood. So like jump scares or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so as someone who's a big fan of the genre, it doesn't sit well with me. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely fine to disagree and for something to not be someone's cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times people are missing out and actually they have the incorrect perception to where if they realign it a little bit, they go, oh, like, I like what you're talking about. And then I would say, oh, well, that's horror.
Yeah.
That's a version of it. And so.
Yeah. Well, I just want to interject and say some people just don't like things that make them scared or uncomfortable or whatever.
100%. Like
and that's the reason they stay away from that. And that's totally valid.
Yeah.
Yes, continue.
Yes. So yeah, if you're one of those people, like, I will not convince you any different. And that is 100% fine. Just like how I will not want to watch certain things moving forward, you know, respecting them, but like, no, thank you.
Right.
So, touching on that, kind of one of my thoughts slash one of my arguments is that a lot of times people will go, oh, well, I don't like horror, but I do like thriller films or like suspense films.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting thing to me because I think a lot of thrillers and suspense cross over to where they are horror films. Mm-hmm. Not all, you know, like all horror films aren't necessarily going to be suspenseful or be considered thrillers, but they normally have a lot of those, you know, characteristics or ingredients. Definitely all thrillers and suspense films aren't horror films.
Yeah.
That's why you have like, and genre is so interesting because you have subgenre for like everything. So like you get very specific. So there's like the spy thriller that obviously is not going to be horror because it's going to be more about like, oh, I'm trying not to get caught.
Right.
I'm trying to get the plans. You know, there's a language to what a spy thriller is and what you expect to see.
Mm.
So going on that though, I think that when we look at what makes a horror film a horror film, it's not that tiny box.
All genres of film, specifically in this example, just stick with film or movies. and you can duplicate all of that and put it under horror.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll have all of those things as well, just with the horror element. Does that make sense? So you can have a rom-com. You can have just a comedy or a drama or a thriller or just anything. And then it can also be a horror version of that.
Yep.
And I think that has the potential to broaden a lot of people's minds or perception of horror in general. Because it's like, oh, it's not like there's rom-coms and thrillers and dramas and horror movies.
Yeah.
You know? So that was a bit, I guess maybe that was a kind of a personal enlightenment that I had just thinking about it. Cause I never, if you someone had told me that, I'd been like, oh, sure. Yeah. But I just never thought of it before.
Yeah.
And again, that's a lot of our topics are like that. I'm like, I'd never thought of this, but that seems to be the case.
Yeah.
That's
the cool thing about horror is that it really, in my opinion, it's like the most friendly genre to where it plays well with the other ones.
Yes.
You can have other genres that bleed in or, you know, combine with other ones. But with horror, it's super easy to go horror comedy, horror musical,
yeah,
horror drama.
Yeah.
Usually those are just be referred to as a horror film because it takes its subject matter seriously.
Yes.
And action horror is also a genre, which mm-hmm. can be really fun. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about what makes a horror film, or at least what I do, I go, I don't need blood. I don't, you know, need a killer, you know, like with a mask. Basically, I am just watching something that is terrifying mm-hmm. to humans. And again, there's movies that deal with things that are terrifying to humans, but they're not horror films. Like The Revenant is not a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
It's commenting and talking about the human struggle.
Yeah.
You know, he fights a bear,
right.
You know, the brutality of people. Mm-hmm. You could take those same, and this is kind of one of the points that we're having, is you could take all those same ingredients and make it a horror film if you shot it differently, if the vibe was different, if the music was different, if maybe you tweaked the story a little bit or whatever, those same things could constitute in being a horror film, but it wouldn't be. And so for me, like, again, that's where there's that their disagreement with people thinking Jaws isn't, because technically on IMDb, it's listed as an action adventure.
Yeah.
And I can see that because it's not all dark and gritty,
mm-hmm.
which again, a misconception that horror has to be. But
mm-hmm.
Like we were discussing earlier, if you replaced the underwater sequences with like a POV of someone in the woods, it's the exact same language that slasher movies use of, oh, the killer is watching an unsuspecting villain. Or sorry, victim.
Victim, yeah.
And then the music starts off soft, mm-hmm. it grows,
mm-hmm.
and then villain kills unsuspecting victim, or victim barely gets away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
the formula is the same, yeah.
So basically, I just first wanted to kind of throw that idea out there that you may think that you don't like horror, but if you maybe revisit the films you've seen or the content you've ingested and think about suspense or thrillers, there may be some crossover to where the content, like that kind of content, can actually appeal to you. And I'd say there's lots more of that in horror with open arms saying, come consume me. You won't be disturbed by like bodies being like terribly mutilated or like dumb teenagers having sex and then dying.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's movies and there's stories for you.
Mm.
How does that fall on your face? Do you reject it? Do you affirm it? What are you thinking?
I very much agree with it. And to your point, I think a lot of people like horror more than they think, or they like something that they don't know is kind of a big thing in horror movies.
Yeah.
And again, I think to most people's credit who stay away from these films, the term horror is meant to kind of push you away in a sense. It's meant to be a bit abrasive and just like, oh, this will not be a fun time, basically,
mm-hmm.
is what the word says. I think it's a lot more nuanced than that. And I think that's how it started. Back in the day when mm-hmm. that wasn't a type of movie, they were like, oh, let's make movies that are just about scaring people because
mm-hmm.
people were missing that. And there was kind of that element and just make people feel a different emotion that most other people or most other movies couldn't make you feel at the time.
Yeah.
I'm speculating, but I feel like maybe that's how it came up. But now it's so much more nuanced that really I think there is something for everyone to an extent.
And again, that person, there may be that person listening who you mentioned earlier who's just like, no, like, I don't like creepy stuff or I don't like anything stressful or anything that like puts any kind of fear in me. And that's totally valid. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there may be no content for you. But I think to an extent, all of us a little bit like suspense or like that question of like, oh, is this person going to make it out of it?
Yeah.
And again, if you like 24 isn't a horror film that,
sure.
or sorry, a horror television series, but, there was something enjoyable about like, oh my gosh, they're going to stop the bad guy in time. There's only so much time. And so someone could enjoy that kind of suspense, but not enjoy the, is this person not going to get murdered? Or is this person going to like, escape this scary situation?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gets again into horror has so many different subgenres that, you asked me earlier, you're like, well, if you had to recommend a horror movie to someone who had not watched any, like, what would you do? Or like, what would you recommend? And I kind of was like, I have to ask them first a couple of questions, see what they're interested in. And that might change what I recommend. And so that gets back to the subgenres. With horror, again, you can have man versus beast, man versus creature. And again, Jaws would fall into that.
Mm-hmm.
You have like body horror where things are, you know, going wrong for people's bodies. It's the horror of like, oh, my hand is now, you know, like The Fly is a great example of a man slowly, Jeff Goldblum in a horror movie not being silly, which is weird to think
now
about.
Now looking back on it, it's like, oh, that does not work. But
But like that was, that is a scary idea of like experimenting with science and it going wrong. Nature even kind of plays into if it's a creature, but even like just what the elements will do to you.
Yeah.
There's psychological horror. So anyway, you can look up the subgenres yourself. I'm not an expert. I'm a fan, but, I think that there's lots of stuff that may be appealing or tasty to people if they, kind of, if they took a little peek, if they took a little stroll. Transitioning, just to give you guys some insight into why I like it, I'm going to lay out some points for you and stuff. But before we do that, you know, Noah, obviously you have your list and you're very willing to watch films with me that I mentioned earlier. What to you about the films that you mentioned and or just others in the genre that you liked but didn't make the list are appealing to you? What is it like? What has been your joy slash experience with these types of films or this type of media? I mean, you're reading stuff right now.
Yeah.
You've read other things. Give me a little insight into that French psyche you got going on.
I think overall, the main thing is that, I want it to make me feel something. And I think going to my earlier point, I wanted to make me feel something that I don't really get out of other movies.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just kind of that. When something makes me uneasy, I come out of it thinking, man, I actually felt something. I wasn't bored. I wasn't numb. I wasn't constantly happy. I was like, oh, this is like such a real feeling. And so I think part of the appeal is it's a feeling of dread or helplessness or whatever in a controlled setting is very, and I think you use this word at some point in your notes, but it's very cathartic.
Yeah.
And, there's something about it to where it happens and then you come out of it with no like real life scars.
Yeah.
And that's very satisfying. Like you feel like you come out a little bit built up, a little bit stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind thinks a little bit differently after it. You know, it's just like kind of an interesting thing. But I was thinking because so many of the ones that I'd seen were zombie films, I was trying to think, well, why does that genre appeal to me?
Yeah.
And I will say like it has been overdone to death.
Unintended. Oh, Noah, you bastard.
but we'll bleep that out.
No, I'm keeping it.
And this is our horror episode. You're right.
That's right.
We should get more vulgar.
The horror is Kyle's potty mouth.
But I was trying to think, okay, what is it about the zombie movie specifically that appeals to me? And I think it was a couple of things. a big part of it is kind of that tight-knit camaraderie that comes with usually, oh, these people from all these different backgrounds usually mm-hmm. end up in this situation together. And there's tension and there's friendship and there's betrayal and there's all these things that are very human. And it's just like a very concentrated dose of humanity. They're never all the same person in terms of their character. They always have to be all the archetypes. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And the other part is just kind of like selfishly and just like kind of human nature. I want to live in a world where I can do whatever I want with no consequences mm-hmm. and smash things. And I say, oh, I want that thing. I want to have it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Just that part and just have it be the norm and just be okay. And you know, you're not hurting anyone because yeah. no one's there.
Because they're all dead.
And so it's just like that part is just kind of fun and kind of very indulgent. But also I think part of it too is the survival, the idea of survival and mm-hmm. that's kind of really aspirational for a lot of people. I know it is for me, where everyone sort of thinks that they would be one of the few that would be like, I could make it.
Yeah.
I'd be scrappy enough.
Yeah. You know,
I have some ideas kind of up there and I'd be prepared if it happened.
Yeah.
And so, just kind of the fantasy of that I think is fun, but, yeah, I don't know. That was kind of my draw to it initially. And I think my gateway into horror was, I think, first just starting with just thrillers and wanting a little bit more of that feeling. And then I had my zombie phase and this was like high school and zombie movies were very popular and they were just pumping them out. And so I really got into it. But so it was like when The Walking Dead, I think, first started airing and all that stuff. And so, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with everything you said. I wish I could, and I mean, thankfully I'll be able to listen to this episode later while I'm editing it. You said something like a concentrated dose of humanity.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's a tasty sentence.
Oh, okay.
That was yummy. Like that's a great way of wording it. It struck me in the moment and I had to affirm it.
Well, cause it really is. I think they usually try to take what are the most different types of people? And, and taking a few of them and putting them together and see how they deal with each other and this kind of exterior adversity that's put on them, mm-hmm. And what's revealed of their nature, and you know what a person does. What's the human reaction to something? What's the logical reaction? Mm-hmm. What's the emotional part? And just I think it's a very interesting way to study that and kind of tell a story around it.
100%. And I'll try to, moving forward with this, try to do a good job of not bouncing back and forth or being all over the place with my points. But I mean, everything you said is, I mean, it ties into my notes as well. And it is like, first I'll just engage with, it's like, it's fun. Like it is fun thinking, like specifically with the zombie/apocalyptic genre, like, could I make it? Would I be a good wanderer? Like I would go to these places mm-hmm. or like in that situation, I wouldn't have done that. I would have done that. And just like the clothes look cool, the aesthetics cool,
sure,
like the lone gunman who helps like the person being attacked by bandits and they start a friendship. And then you have that quest. And I mean, I think that's why stories like, you know, the popular video game The Last of Us or like Cormac McCarthy's The Road and obviously The Walking Dead TV series and comic book are big because it's that Joker mentality of like, here's a world without rules and what will you do and how will society be different?
Yes.
And it's fun and engaging to put your mind through that kind of sandbox of like, okay, like it's just very, it's very engaging. And yeah, regardless of like the level of like darkness, it's, there is always that, like, what would you do?
Yeah. I think if you're, one thing to keep in mind if you're approaching horror and you're kind of new to it, you sort of have to be okay with the idea that there might not be redemption in that story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a big thing that I was raised with, is I was like, well, where's the redemption in this story? And if there's no redemption, then it's not worth
it. Sounds like one of my teachers. I won't say who, but...
but like, if there's no redemption, it's not a story worth telling.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is a very Christian thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so... You sort of have to be okay with that and finding that outside of the story, because a lot of it is just like holding up a mirror kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or like in this situation, a lot of times for these types of people, there really is no redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Does that like, what does that make you think about the world around you as mm-hmm. it is? And kind of like a self-reflection, and you really can make it as deep as you want or as shallow as you want. So.
Yeah, well, again, these points are all, will all bleed into each other, but horror is one of the most symbolic genres, mm-hmm. and it's also one that is just like just dipped and drenched in social commentary.
Yeah.
And that's what's so cool about it, is that you can use it to talk about a lot of different things mm-hmm. while remaining entertaining and engaging people who otherwise wouldn't come to see your movie if they knew what it was really about.
Yeah.
I kind of put in my notes like, if they came out at the same time, someone may see the trailer for 12 Years a Slave and go, ugh, I don't want to watch that like rough, like slave movie, mm-hmm. you know, like regardless of if like, you know, who this type of person is,
right.
like they're good or bad or, you know, what their opinions on the subject, which should be clear. It should be one opinion that it was bad. If you're not of that opinion, I do not respect you and want to engage with you. But, I can understand watching, seeing a trailer for that and be like, I don't want to watch that.
It just seems really heavy.
It just is heavy. And it's just like, I'm tired from my day. Like, I don't, you know, I don't want to engage with that. Mm. And that's not a wrong mentality to have with entertainment. But while they might see the trailer then for Get Out and go, ooh, a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like Jordan Peele. Cool. Like maybe some comedy. Like, I'll watch it. Mm-hmm. And again, the movie is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But then... It has some great social commentary and is mm-hmm. able to talk about deep and serious things while remaining entertaining. And again, films don't need to be judged or graded on like worth in the sense of like, how many people did you make think deeply?
Right.
Are you a better film now? Like, we don't need to do that. But it is cool that the horror genre can do that to mm-hmm. where it can talk about this stuff and maybe get more butts in seats.
Yeah.
While being thought of as entertaining mm. and, you know, maybe resulting in, you know, more people. So anyway, going to kind of the holding up the mirror, that's something that I really appreciate about horror is that there's no BS with horror. Horror says, hey, the world is terrifying.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, someone who suffers from anxiety, I find... And I kind of realized this recently, maybe like a year or two ago.
Mm.
I was just like, I think that's why I find the genre so appealing, because I am able to watch characters be afraid
mm.
and struggle and cower. And occasionally they are overwhelmed and done with.
Yeah.
And other times they are able to rise up and prevail. And that there is something, like you said, it's cathartic. It's a release for me to go, I'm not the only one who's afraid. Obviously, I know it's not real,
mm.
but there's just that human connection of like this person's cowering from something that, again, can symbolize, you know, depression, fear, anxiety, commitment, anything.
Right.
And it can be as silly as you want to be, but mm-hmm. nonetheless, like it's there and you're seeing this person deal with it. And I can kind of live that out in, like you said, a safe environment. And kind of be reminded like, yes, like I am afraid, but I can overcome it.
Yeah.
Or I should fight. And if I don't, I may be like that, or mm-hmm. this may happen to me. And The Babadook's a great example of that. I don't know if you saw that film.
I didn't watch it, no.
Okay.
I wanted to, but just never.
Okay, yeah. It's an Australian film. I forget the name of the director, very talented lady.
Mm-hmm.
The film can be just viewed as a straight up, you know, horror movie, or it can kind of be viewed as a commentary on loss and what it's like to be a single mother. And honestly, that's what I found scariest about the film was like, oh man, it'd be really hard being a single mother,
mm.
losing your partner. And feeling like you're alone and having to work all the time so that you can support this kid, and then coming back and just being tired and having the kid annoy you. Like, again, that's horror also, you know, kind of deals with the macabre or stuff we don't want to talk about. And that's not something popular to say that, like, I don't like my kid right now.
Yeah.
But that's, and but that leads to things being built up and stored in like a deep, dark place. And it's like, no, that's very real. And it would feel so lonely to basically only have your like 5-year old who has behavioral issues because they lost their dad. They don't have a dad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I really like the horror part of it was fine, but it was that very real human struggle that made me stay and made the film memorable. And I love that it can do that. And again, as someone who is often afraid of everything,
yeah,
I find the genre very encouraging. So I'm glad you brought that up. And again, like with The Walking Dead, like zombies have from the beginning been social commentary. Like when we're on our phones and we don't talk to anyone on the street, like what makes us so different from these things that are just shambling around? And were we actually alive before they came? Like the characters were usually like,
yes.
I didn't live my life beforehand. Right. I was cop and money. And what does it mean now? And that can be cheesy, but I think The Walking Dead does a good job of being like, human beings, like, we're terrible. We can be terrible to each other, but at the same time, like, despite how much, like, we get squashed, there's, like, that goodness. Like, love will sprout up like a flower out of concrete.
Yeah.
Like, even in the worst situation, people find each other. Or, again, people who never would have been put together. So, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think it's quite tasty.
Yeah, and then it stabs you in the heart.
That's
right. By not being good anymore.
Well, and that's an interesting note that you mentioned. It's like kind of warning, you know, people who aren't familiar with the genre. It is true. I'd say maybe if we put all the horror films into a calculator, you know, and said how many of these end badly, or end sadly or depressing, it probably the majority would probably be that way. But again, just because it's horror doesn't mean it's going to go that way.
Yes. Or just because it goes that way doesn't mean
it's bad.
Yeah. Or that you won't enjoy it. You know,
and if you're someone who's like, but I only like happy endings, I don't want to watch stuff that makes me, that's fine.
Yes.
I don't reject you. But sometimes it is good to be kind of hit with that, like, well, sometimes things don't end well. Or sometimes a character's choices led them to a certain road. So,
yes.
Transitioning to like a lighter version of that, do you have any memories or any films that like are just fun? Because that's obviously the least important for me, why I like horror films.
Yeah.
But there's something too of like it being like a roller coaster, it being a ride of like, oh my gosh, what's gonna, it's like kind of like we've talked about this before. It's that game in like writing of like, okay, this person did this and now they're fine.
Yeah.
But something, something, something.
Yes.
And things just get progressively worse. Are there any examples that you have of that? Or do you think it's weird to find horror movies fun? Is that mean that we're sick and we're twisted, or what's that all about?
I don't know. The first stuff that comes to mind is just the comedy part, but that's normal. Mm-hmm. If you're watching a horror comedy, it's normal to find the comedy fun. It depends on what you mean by fun. Because I've enjoyed myself watching things that made me feel uncomfortable, if that makes sense. Where I was like, oh, this is such a real feeling. And again, something that you won't necessarily get somewhere else. And just kind of that reflection and being like, oh, I'm so glad that isn't happening to me. Like if you want to be sappy about it, you know, you can just be like, oh, well, it just makes me real thankful for the kind of life that I have. But like, you know, I don't know about straight up fun, unless again, it's meant, you know, just kind of a lighter type of horror film like Zombieland or Shaun of the Dead or just kind of the comedy type. if I have too much fun, I might not feel like it's effective if it's not meant to be a fun movie. Mm. But
I'll give an example. So like,
okay, yeah, maybe you can enlighten me on what you mean.
Well, like, it's kind of like going through a haunted house. Like for me, like I'm not a fan of like jump scares.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But like The Conjuring and even the Insidious movies.
Insidious, like, would be my example of that.
They like, they're not meant to be goofy.
Yeah.
But like, I had a lot of fun watching them. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know, I wasn't necessarily like terrified, but it was kind of like when you go with a group of people and you're in the theater or you're like watching in like, I had some memories of being in a dorm room with a couple people and like, you know, we're crowded around like a crappy like TV and we're watching this film. There's a fun experience of like hearing people go like, oh my gosh, no. And just the crowd like getting scared, and maybe you just because you're empathetic enough, you get scared with them. But those movies are just like, they're fast paced. And there's constantly new stuff being thrown at you that it's just, it feels like an experience.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I would say Insidious, it was probably the most effective scare that I've had in recent memory.
Mm.
For some people, like, it was just like, oh, it was just some other movie.
Yeah.
But that was the only movie I remember ever, like making me hold a pillow to my chest.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, I've never had this. This is great. But yeah. And I was in college, you know, like this wasn't like my first, but there's something. And again, like as the nerdy kind of film buff side of me was like, the sound design was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
The visuals were very striking and cool. No gore.
Yeah. It's PG-13.
PG-13, just the tension, the use of light, the jump scares involved no loud sounds. It was just something that's in the frame that you only realize is there. Just like, oh, just that face.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Just next to the person and just the obliviousness of the people. And just everything worked so well together. I thought it was very effective. I didn't see any of the sequels. I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was very good at that.
Yeah.
And this was, I can't remember if this was before or after, but around that time, I watched the remake of The Evil Dead.
Okay.
Which, for people who don't know, Evil Dead came out in the 80s. I think it was 1980, maybe. Somewhere around there.
Definitely the 80s, yeah.
And it was a kind of a trailblazer, a pioneer in that kind of comedy / horror genre. And it was very effective at that. It's very campy and it's corny, but it plays on those things. And there were two more after that. The third one is very different in tone.
Yeah.
We won't get into it. But they did a remake of it, of that very first one. It's a very, you know, it's a cabin. These young people go into this cabin that's
in
the woods.
Cabins.
It's secluded. And there's a basement and there's a lot of bad vibes around this cabin, it turns out.
Cabin had a lot of bad vibes.
Yeah.
Airbnb rating.
That's right. And so it's a very classic format. And there's a remake that happened and it tried... I mean, there's a scene where it literally rains blood and
Exodus.
And it's just like, it tries to be visually shocking and that did nothing it was very gratuitous. There's no point. It was just a remake of a story that had already been made, just not being done as well. No comedy part, which was a huge, like, was very integral to the original. Anyway, this is like just me ranting about it. But my point is, I was trying to think of what kind of horror is effective on me. And then I was like, well, what separates a thriller from horror and all that stuff? And I was thinking of movies like Seven and Silence of the Lambs,
mm-hmm.
which are labeled as thrillers.
Yes, but
are so much more uncomfortable, and the tension is built up slowly and cleverly, and the human element is mm-hmm. so substantial. These people are fleshed out and not in like literal
flesh out.
That's so much more effective. But anyway, I'm just kind of all over the place. But
no,
I don't remember how we started. Oh, having fun with the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. I had no fun with The Evil Dead, not because the remake, not because it was scary or whatever, but probably because it wasn't.
Yeah.
If it had been, then maybe I would have enjoyed myself more. Mm-hmm. But.
Well, and it's like, yeah, like you're not going to. I don't have fun with every horror movie I watch. And so it's like, if there's certain horror movies I was watching and I was having a lot of fun, that's when I would be like, oh, I think there's something wrong with me. It's not bad to enjoy. I mean, that's what makes a story good or not, is if you're enjoying it. It can be disturbing or dark and you can enjoy it. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. But I'm glad to hear your perspective on that Evil Dead film. I never saw the remake. I feel like it was received well by fans, but again, I can't speak to it at all. All I have is that, the internet, and your reaction. And so I'll have to check it out and see. I stayed away from it because it did just look like tons of gore and stuff, which, again, does not interest me.
Right.
I'm not against gore.
Yeah.
Again, I'll praise it if it's done well, like The Thing, where it's like, oh, my gosh, like, that's amazing. I don't know what's happening. a film just, you know, being gory, whatever, it doesn't automatically mean I have fun. Mm-hmm. And I think, something has to, it's hard to be funny. Like, but I think that's what's cool about horror too, is that horror is so tied to comedy. Jordan Peele talked about this, of how like the emotions are so similar. And that's why horror comedy really works, because it's like, that moment of like, am I laughing or am I afraid, or am I laughing because I am afraid?
Yeah.
It's just like the relief of both is such a like visceral.
Yeah.
And it's, for me, it's the two things that's hardest to get me to do. Because again, like, as much as I'm talking about how much I love horror, I recognize that it's a lot of crap. I've said crap now and bastard. What's going to happen to me? So I hardly ever scream or get freaked out. And same with comedies. Like, I don't laugh a lot when I watch comedies, because it takes a lot. And that's not me saying like I have a better, you know, meter or anything.
Higher standard of
comedy. It's just how I am. And so when you get that perfect combo, it can be really fun. It can be really satisfying. I think those are all good points. Signs of the Lambs is, I think, like the only horror film that has won an Oscar. And I think it's acknowledged as such. Like you said, like, I don't know what it is on IMDb. You said thriller.
I'm not sure.
I've always heard of it
as a thriller.
Mm-hmm. You know? But like, I know that's one that has been acknowledged, like, oh, it's like, it won an Oscar. And it's like a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of how it is like constructed, it's like, it's like a thriller. And same with Seven, it's trying to find the killer.
Yeah.
Terrible things are happening, but it's a detective story. And so again, just kind of going back to our plea, our argument, it'd say like, I think there might be stuff out there for you. Like if you're reading things, if you like mystery novels, if you like, you know, Agatha Christie or Sherlock Holmes, like a lot of that stuff is infused with elements of horror. So even if maybe you don't like a straight up horror piece, you like pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's interesting. And that's kind of fun to be aware of. And just to go back to this point, and then we can kind of wrap up with our final suggestions for people. But going to Agatha Christie, 10 Little Indians. Love that play. Love that story. I just spit on my computer screen. did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was thick. that's the true horror. Ruining a computer personal hygiene. The salami. The blob. But 10 Little Indians is kind of like classic murder mystery whodunit. Kind of, I think, started that a little bit. Mm. I'm not a historian, but I think that was like Agatha Christie was like one of the big like, made that a genre, because now you see that in so many shows like that, like they'll have their whodunit episode. But it's not really horror. Because it's a lot of people just talking and the violence happens off screen. And again, not that you need to see violence for it to be horror necessarily, but again, it's all these elements that blend together to create a product. So anyway, it's interesting because you take that and you're like, oh, well, it's not really horror. But recently the BBC did a adaptation of it. And it very much was horror.
Mm.
Like if I had never read that play before and someone said, what was this? I'd be like, oh, it's like a horror miniseries.
Yeah.
Because it's the way it was shot, just how like icky it was, how it waited and how terrible these people are, which again, the play does. But it's like in a play, it's a little bit different.
Sure.
Not that you can't have a horror play. But yeah, it's just interesting that it's about like how stuff are combined, the intention, and how it's just, I think if there's anything that you come away with, listener, that it's not so simple. So don't put horror in a box. Be open to it. Flirt with it a little bit. Take it out to lunch.
Yeah.
See what you think. And don't be surprised if you get stabbed in the back. No. So Noah, getting to the end of our episode, do you have some suggestions maybe for peeps, for our listeners, of stuff that they can, if they're not a horror fan, if they haven't engaged with the medium a lot, or if they're squeamish and they want to try it out, but they don't want to be scarred, maybe some suggestions of stuff that they can engage with? Do you have anything?
Yeah. We were talking about this earlier, and I'm again, stealing from your notes, but it's something that
we share them. It's fine.
Connect with, yes. But the most of the early M. Night Shyamalan movies are great for this.
Yes.
The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs, The Village.
Yeah.
I mean, all of those like just do a great job of, you know, it's in what you don't see, basically.
Yeah.
And kind of that tension. And if that's what you're after, is just the tension without the visual kind of attack, those are great examples of that. And he at the time was very good at that stuff.
Yeah.
And so those are kind of, I think, good intro movies. Now, if you want to flirt with the uneasiness and just kind of more visceral stuff, probably any early David Fincher thriller, Seven, what was the other thing? Well, Silence of the Lambs is a great example where you don't really see, they don't show any horror elements that I can remember, but it's all tension.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Anthony Hopkins, just a delight to watch.
Yeah.
If only for that. Yeah. I'm sure
you'll understand
really
that
good.
if you've seen the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there are a few, it depends on how you want to get introduced into the flow of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those are good kind of gateways.
Definitely. Yeah. I'd say just for in keeping with the person who's squeamish, ignore/skip David Fincher. What was the other one? Oh, in Silence of the Lambs.
Sure.
First,
yeah.
But very much if you're intrigued/you think you can handle a light, like, yeah, it's hard for me to remember because I think like Seven just feels so icky, but you don't necessarily see a lot. You see
there's some stuff.
There's like body, like, yeah. Anyway, we won't get into it.
Yeah.
But all that to say, like, if you can handle a little bit more, I think those would be great ones to go on to next. But yeah, if it's kind of like, if you want to start with that like cushion of the PG-13 rating.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, the M. Night Shyamalan films are a great example.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
sorry to interrupt, but
I'm so angry. Continue.
I think I'll throw in our earlier example. I think Insidious. If the one thing that's keeping you away from that type of movie is the gore and the visual kind of squeamish stuff, then that's a great one, where it's all just kind of tension building and just visual juxtaposition and not without any gore. So anyway.
Totally. Yeah. Not to keep going back too much to the genre thing, but a Sixth Sense by M. Night Shyamalan, we were discussing this earlier on IMDb, it's labeled like a thriller, a mystery, I think a drama as well. And it's just kind of funny because it's like, all that is very true.
Yeah.
It's not wrong, but also definitely unquestionably in my mind is a horror film.
Mm.
And if you have your perception of what horror is, like, no, horror is blood, horror is stabby, stabby, you know, yeah. Horror is constant in my face. It's like, well, then, yeah, it wouldn't be. but it's not. Mm. It's dealing with death. It's dealing with what would it be like to try to be helping this kid who is haunted by seeing ghosts.
Yeah.
I mean, he's literally haunted, you know?
Yeah.
And like the stories of these people who passed away, and that's what makes it great, is it's not just as scary. It's this kid's having to engage with what happened to these people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stories are really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And so again, you may have been like, oh, I like that movie. Yeah. That's a good horror movie. Mm-hmm. Or you're like, oh, I either never heard of it or thought it was too like gory or whatever. No, it's PG-13. Check it out. It has some great scares, but it's not, it's not just like demonic, Satan-y, you know, just like super, you know, whatever. Anyway. Again, I don't want to talk about M. Night Shyamalan too much, but
right.
The Village is great.
Yeah.
Again, because it has characters, it has, mm-hmm. you know, good tension and a plot. And I know a lot of people don't like this one, but Lady in the Water, I think, has a lot of value to it.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that is unquestionably bad.
Uh-huh.
M. Night Shyamalan writing himself as the writer who is going to change the world with his writing was a little like eye-rolly.
Uh-huh.
But Paul Giamatti gives an amazing, very just touching human performance. His his backstory is so tragic.
Yeah.
And his relationship with the girl, the water nymph, is very, again, touching.
Yeah.
And there's some fun horror moments with that scary dog thing.
Mm-hmm.
To where I don't think it's just a piece of trash like a lot of people chose to believe.
I don't either.
My man.
Yeah.
I respect you more.
Yeah.
Another one suggestion for you. I don't know if you've ever seen this film, Noah, but there's a film called Final Girls, a PG-13 comedy. And this one's fun because it kind of gives you a taste of the old school slasher film without being a gross, dumb, pointless old school slasher film.
Mm.
The premise, again, it's kind of a fun concept, is just that this girl's mom was an actress in one of those types of movies and unfortunately passed away. And so this girl's sad, obviously just missing her mom. And she goes to a screening of her mom's film and somehow gets transported into the movie. And so then her mom's a character in the film. And so she's trying to connect with her mom. You know, she knows what's happening is insane. She's trying to connect with her mom while the movie's taking place and they're being hunted by this slasher villain. But she also has her friends with her, and one is a horror movie buff. And so the whole time, and he's a big fan of that movie, he's commenting on what's happening. And so like, there's like the real characters and then there's the movie characters. And so the movie characters will talk to him and he's like, ugh, this writing's so bad.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a lot of fun. And I think it's a good introduction into the cliches of horror movies and some of the tropes. Mm. And it's very self-aware and kind of says, oh yeah, like we know this is dumb, but it's also kind of like what makes it endearing to us.
Right.
And the relationship between the girl and her mom is very emotional and made me care. And it's also very stylish, very well shot. So again, PG-13, no blood for the most part, and really fun and actually has a good story.
Mm.
This one probably a lot of people have seen or have at least heard of, but that was A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
And again, there's a good argument for someone going, no, this is a thriller.
Mm.
I get it.
Yeah.
I understand. But at the same time, the marketing.
Yeah.
What's actually happening.
It was definitely marketed as a horror film.
Yeah. Yeah. But people were willing to go see it and they didn't look down on it. It wasn't like, oh, that trashy John Krasinski movie. It was like, everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, because we like this family. We have that empathy of what would I do?
Mm.
Could I survive? Or would I be quiet enough? Like it's so simple, but you put yourself there and I had a ton of fun with that movie.
Yeah. I did not see it, but
I thought you did. Oh, I guess it's just on Plex or something.
It's in my library, but yeah. I haven't gotten around to it yet. There was the added element around it of kind of that awareness of, like people should maybe be aware of sign language and learning how to communicate without using words and stuff like that. And just like kind of that whole campaign around it, I thought was a really interesting thing to come out of a horror film.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of a cool way to just, hey, what's something that other films haven't done? let's maybe like bring that out into the light and then use that in a way that is kind of celebrated. So I thought that was pretty cool.
100%. Just on a story level, it's cool, but also it is like a good like, oh yeah, we don't see these characters all the time. And sometimes when we do, there's stereotypes. And just like with different races, ethnicities, you know, income levels, genders, it's like it's cool that a film chose to be very proactive about being like, we're going to have someone who isn't always pegged as the hero be front and center. And then also like the way they see the world be the theme of the movie.
Yeah.
So no, that's a great point. Next, and again, something that's very popular and probably has been consumed already a lot by our listeners is Stranger Things. I wouldn't say that Stranger Things is straight up horror, but at the same time, it is so much influenced by Stephen King, so much influenced by 80s, 80s films and just culture. And it has so many horror scenes sprinkled throughout it. And again, it's not super gross. And people have fun with it. And again, to bring it back to my mom, that was a fun thing for me is to watch it with my whole family. And she was kind of hesitant of like, I don't like horror things. She really doesn't. But it was fun to watch it with her, my sister and my brother and his wife, and just watch it as a family and see them get people who, because they don't really like horror either. My sister kind of does, but to see my brother, his wife, and my mom and my dad like watch something they don't normally engage with and be able to handle it, but also enjoy it and not be like, oh, I regret that, or I can't sleep tonight. I think it was really fun. And so the creatures in that and just like the way they film it, they do a great job kind of making it commercial in a positive sense.
Well, and the characters are great, like regardless of the story, everyone's so different and unique, and but at the same time is like everyone is kind of someone you know. Which is a big the nostalgia and everything is a big factor in this, but and the devotion that characters have for each other and it's kind of the sacrificial inclinations. Also, it's just, it's great.
100%. It's like even, I would suggest it even as a non-horror toe-dipping thing.
It's just
a good show, but it has those elements that I think might surprise you and going, oh, like I do like this kind of stuff. Last one, I had another shaman on, but we enough with him. You know, we've treated him well tonight. And he's not sponsoring this, and I'm not going to talk any more about it until he does. So last one, really fun movie, and this is just a quick like point, too, of why horror movies are fun, specifically conquering certain fears. And so for me, I hate spiders. I really do. I don't like people like, but you grew up in the jungle. It's like, that doesn't mean that I'm going to like spiders. It's probably the reason I don't like them. I saw them every 5 seconds. But this is the film Arachnophobia with Jeff Daniels playing the lead guy.
Interesting.
Which is super fun. And so again, this movie, I think it's either PG or PG-13. Back when PG didn't mean anything. But again, you won't be scarred. But this film, again, has that great idea of just taking a basic human fear and being like, A, there's tons of tiny spiders that are like poisonous that are infecting this town. And you have the empathy of like this dad, I think, has just moved to this town with his family. So he's trying to like protect them and stuff. But then there's also like you get a big tarantula later, not giant, but like maybe small dog size. And like it's just great animatronics and puppet work. It's a very old school film. And so you may watch and be like, I don't buy any of this. But again, I think it's a good introduction to the genre of something that you could handle. Of like, oh, this is kind of cheesy, but while it being fun, it's a fun ride. And Jeff Daniels is obviously a great actor. Obviously also if you're super scared of spiders, it may not be the best fit. But for me, that's why I wanted to watch it. I kind of viewed it as a badge of honor. It was like, man, I hate spiders. This movie's going to scar me, but
that is, I feel like that's a lot of, maybe that I should mention this earlier, but, a lot of the appeal is kind of the challenge of horror. And like, I can watch this and I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think when you really get into it, then you just like, you keep upgrading and graduating to tougher things. And then eventually it's like, oh, well, this, I think you do get desensitized to it. But yeah, I think that's a lot of the appeal is just like, oh yeah, this is no problem.
Yeah.
I can handle this.
Yeah.
Or, oh, this is something that I just have such a hard time. And that's why a lot of people like to watch things with other people. It's
yeah.
like, I don't want to watch this by myself. Can you like watch it with me? It's yeah. so scary. And it's like, you want to be scared and you want to go through that experience mm-hmm. and you want also to be, you know, have someone else with you to go through it with. So, yeah.
It really, I mean, for me, really, it really is one of the most fun type of films to watch with people.
Yeah.
It's just, I have so many good memories of it. So that's a good addition as well.
Yeah.
I think we've come to the end, Noah.
That's it.
One of the things I've loved most recently about this podcast has been the engagement with our listeners.
Yes.
It's been so fun to hear from you guys, to get little comments or whether it's just like love what you're doing or, you know, questions about stuff or anything. And so keep it up. Like, it's been really fun. We love doing that. I want to, in a future episode, kind of maybe have some of our reviews, read some of our reviews, give a shout out to the people who thanked us or reviewed us on iTunes. But,
yeah.
Just for this episode, in keeping with that engagement, let us know what you think about horror. Do you like it? Do you have any favorite films? Do you have any suggestions for us, or do you have any favorite subgenres? And if you don't love horror, did we do anything to change your mind? Are you going to check out any of our films, or do you think we spoke a lot of baloney? Let us know. We want to hear. I'd be super interested to see if anyone's going to check anything out. Or
yeah.
Again, the genre discussion, the thriller mystery debate is strong. And so yeah. if you guys disagree with me, that's totally valid. I'd love to talk about it because I'm a nerd.
Yeah. Yes.
Noah.
Yes.
I hope that you have a fantastic rest of your night.
I think I will.
But before you leave me, if I need to check in on you and make sure you're doing okay,
yeah.
Where can I do that visually?
Every week when we record.
Oh, okay. Bye.
No, again, Instagram, just my name. I try to be active on it and post whenever I can. And that'll mostly be personal artwork, occasionally an update on something I'm working on for Ominous Media, and sometimes it'll just be a personal little side project. And then I post about the podcast usually on my stories, and sometimes I'll make a post for it. But the best place to stay updated on the podcast itself is either the website or our Ominous Media Instagram channel.
Yes, 100%. I think that we don't plug the website enough. And so something good for people to know is that whenever we do a guest interview, we have some fun pictures usually mm-hmm. on the website showing either the event that we went to with to like support or attend with them or some of their work and stuff. And so
yeah.
Definitely check out the site. It's just ominous.media. And then there's the Humming Fools tab. Again, links are in the show notes, but
yeah.
It's a great point. And then, don't forget ominous_media on Instagram is where you'll get lots of updates from our faces. If you want to check out my face and its glorious hair that abides on my head /resides, not abides. Well, it does abide by me, but that's a whole other thing. Anyway, my Instagram name, Noah's smiling. He's like, how did I get on a show with this guy? My Instagram name is Kyle_the_Ecuadorian, and that's where you can talk to me. Stay tuned for our interview next week where we have Micah Borne, a hip-hop spoken word poet,
super
R&B
excited.
Artist.
It's, the inspiration for our show name.
Yeah.
Just it's so many things, yeah.
I gush about it now, but
it's a very special, very special episode.
Yeah, so please look forward to that. Again, new episodes every Tuesday. I hope that you all have a magical, wonderful October. And again, give that jack-o'-lantern a little spoon for me.
Yeah. See you next week.